Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From His special grace, His special mercy, on this great night, on this fabulous night, the virtues of which are so great and so enormous, the night of Jum'ah, and then we have Jum'ah, these 24 hours, the importance of this night is so great that whichever amal is carried out in these 24 hours, that amal, the reward will be magnified 70 times over. This fazilat, this virtue of Jummah in Darul Ulum Karachi, Sheikhul Haditha, Mufti Sahib, he's a great Mufti, Rahimahullah. And he, with regards to this virtue, narrated this hadith that in these 24 hours, 70 times extra reward is gained. Don't waste time. Some people, for example, keep a tasbih in your hand, recite something, do something, because maybe Jum'ah will not come again next week. So subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us in these hours, in these initial hours of these 24 hours, such a great ibadah. He's given us the tawfiq to do this ibadah. In other words, the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. This is such a great ibadah from Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, that the most, you can say, the best action that will save a person from the punishment of the grave. We see that the punishment of the grave is severe. The companions had a lot of fikr and worry about the punishment of the grave. They used to cry in the graveyards, and there are examples from the lives of the Sahaba and the noble companions radiallahu anhum. So for this, Allah Ta'ala has given us an amal in our life that we waste our time. That's why we should be grateful to Allah, that in the initial hours of this night, we are starting off this period of 24 hours with the dhikr of Allah. This hadith, that the action that will save people the most from the punishment of the grave is the dhikr of Allah. Tell me, what a great action that will ward off the punishment. And all the pious elders have written in their kitabs, Fazail Amal, we read every day. Hazrat Sheikhul Hadith Sahib has included this in his kitab as well. But we don't understand these facts. We don't understand these points. And Allah Ta'ala allows those to understand upon whom Allah Ta'ala's mercy is. So this is such a great, great ni'mah, the dhikr of Allah, my friends. And this will help us in the first phase after death, which is the phase of the grave. And if you have one point about the grave, that when a person is lowered into the grave, then the grave, it squeezes and tightens a person, that his ribs overlap. His ribs overlap. When he's freshly inserted into the grave, what is it that causes him? What is it that, why do we walk around in the world with big heads and big minds? And we, Allah has given us energy and health and power. If we were to realize about the benefits and how to use our bodies for benefit, if I was to know that tomorrow I have to die and go to my grave, this is what's going to happen in the grave, then would I waste time in arguments and disputes in the world? And on small matters, I'll argue with people and dispute, and I'll waste my time left, right and center? No. Would we do this? No. And tomorrow when I'll be lowered into my grave, then nobody will ask anyone that what happened in the world. But alhamdulillah, those who understood these points and those who brought dhikr of Allah into their life with this niyyah, with this intention, that Allah, you have stated that take this amal of dhikr of Allah, and inshallah in the grave that person will be saved from the punishment. This is the greatest deed to ward off the punishment of the grave, the greatest deed. So why are we lazy? Why are we negligent? It's ajeeb, weird. And to commit wrong actions, to say wrong thing is against dhikr, this is wrong. No, when a person gets an opportunity to do dhikr of Allah, do dhikr of Allah. This is not an action that we're doing to become a pious elder or peer or a sheikh. This is a need that we have. And it will give us benefit in that world where no currency will have, no pound, no real, no dollar, no building, no asset, no son, no relative, no wealth will assist us in the hereafter, in the grave. That time, these moments we waste, Allah Ta'ala says, I gave you such a great opportunity. Was it hard for you to remember me in the world? So why are you now distressed? Why did you waste time? Why did you waste the opportunity to remember me, Allah says? So this is what we need to understand. Such a great amal, alhamdulillah, that it's, if we go from the start point, yes, the guarantee of the grave, the punishment of the grave will be removed. And there's a guarantee for the akhirah, thereafter, that when a person who does dhikr, the dhakireen will be unique, their faces will shine like the moon on the 14th night in the hereafter. Tell me, can there be anything more good? But in this, people will be wandering around, running around, desperate. But the dhakireen will be sat under the shade of the arsh, the throne, talking to each other. This is on the day of resurrection, hashr. Such dangerous scenarios and such dangerous phases of the hereafter, but Allah Ta'ala has given us the reward of dhikr that will give us ease in the hereafter. Just laziness. And this point does not sit into our mind that how valuable an action is the dhikr of Allah. And Allah's great fadl that for us to understand. Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us opportunities and actions that can give us a reward. Every day in this masjid that Jamaat comes, what do they tell us? They're teaching us these same points. They're not coming here to make money, to teach us how to make wealth, etc. They are teaching us the preparation for the hereafter. The Allah Ta'ala, has He not given us this preparation for the hereafter? How many Jamaats come in? Where do they come from? Where do they descend from? What do they do? What do they say? What is their message? What is their objective? What is their purpose? This majlis that we're having morning and evening, the announcement was made. What's the purpose of this gathering? The Allah Ta'ala has prepared totally for us that we can have understanding, realize, so that we realize what somebody is saying, so we can understand the point and correct our lives. We are arguing in life, deception and fraud and the cruelties of life, but maut, when it comes, it gives such a shake, we don't know how the time passed. The youth, the young people, the old people who pass away. A person, a colleague from our halqa, old time, and his young son, 18 years old he must be, 18 years old. And I gave the adhan in his ears, I can't remember right now. And in front of me, and he was born and grew up in front of me, the son of one of our colleagues, and he was in a car in an accident, he passed away, and he died. This was it, isn't it, in the last couple of years, this happened? And those whose beard are white and their hairs are white, what chance do they have? Yes, if there's no guarantee for the youngster. So my brothers, this dunya, look, the most dangerous thing in this world is what? Let's see. That the most dangerous thing in this dunya is what? Is what will destroy us? Destruction and adab of the grave, the adab of the hereafter, Allah Ta'ala's displeasure, jahannum, hellfire. Allah Ta'ala's curse, wretchedness, no barakat, no blessings. All of this emanates from what? Is based on one thing. Make a note of it. On one thing. Everything, all of the wretchedness and punishment and darkness that will take us until Jahannam, to the most lowest portions of Jannah, will waste our ibadat, our worship, and destroy the light of our ibadat. What is this? How dangerous a thing. And this is the conclusion of all the Sahih Hadith. But I cannot sit here now and discuss all the Hadith with you. Take a long time. But this is the summary of all Hadith. That the thing, the action that destroys all of our goodness and our good deeds, ibadat, all our tahajjud that we pray, the nur is diminished. Dhikr of Allah, it diminishes. Tilawat of Quran diminishes. Hajj and Umrah, the reward diminishes. What is that action? What is that factor? Sin. Sin. Sin is such a dangerous element. And a person who sins equivalent to one atom's weight, that sin will take that person to Jahannam, to hellfire. Tell me. It could be a sin from the eyes, from the hands, from the tongue, from the mouth, from hinting, gesturing, from walking, from sitting. Every moment, it could be in the masjid, could be outside, could be in front of the Kaaba, could be inside the Kaaba, could be in Masjid Nabawi. Such a dangerous thing is sin, that it can attack us at all times. And it can happen very easily. And look how dangerous is the sin. It's so easy to perform and dangerous consequences. Questions arise that if a sin attaches itself to my body, just an atom's weight, then we cannot wash it off now. It will be washed off in the fire of hell. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? Do you understand? So how dangerous is sin? Now what do we see? That sins, why do sins get generated in the life of a person? Do you understand? Why do sins arise? Why are sins born? Why do I commit sins? Why do I leave salah? Why do I speak wrong things? Futile talk, look at dirty, immodest things. And I've got my attire, my libas and my face. But inside, within me, externally, I'm sinning. So I've told you, so why is the sin being produced in the first place? Where's the production line for the sin? So let's grab the point. Where's the water coming from? We say this, don't we? Where's the water coming from? Where's it emanating from? So where's this coming from? What is it? Which tire? Which bolt is loose? Which nut is loose? We run, for example, which tile is loose? Why is the plaster leaking? We'll run to the roof. This tile is loose and the water is leaking through this crack or this gap. That where's this lying come from? Committing fraud, deceiving, zina, adultery. My eyes are doing zina. My tongue is doing zina. My hand is doing zina. Where's this sin emanating from? The Quran doesn't explain to us. Fi qulubihim marada. Allah says in the Quran that your heart is producing the maladies and the dirty effects. However dirty is the heart, however more dirty is the heart, the more wretched and dark and evil will be the sin that will be emanating from it. However more dirty is the heart, the more wretched will be the sin that emanates from the heart. And the more a person's heart is dirty, then there will be more inclination towards sin. Sin. In the same way, all of the sins, the markaz, the focal point of all sin is the dirty heart, the spoilt heart, the smelly heart, the heart full of stench, full of dirt and impurity. And then that heart generates lying and fraud, deceiving someone, lying to someone, leaving salah, committing fraud and lying and cheating people and doing ibadat out of riyah and showing off, because the heart is spoilt. The heart is spoilt. So if we want to be saved from the sins, my friends, if we have a realization that sins will destroy me in the grave, on the day of judgment, at the time of death, in the hereafter, then to save ourselves from sin, then the biggest action is what? That we need to look after our hearts. We need to improve our hearts. If we change the tile on the roof that's cracked, then the leak will not occur. So if we repair our hearts, then sins will cease. And where are sins being produced from? If we control our hearts and we correct our hearts, and alhamdulillah, the same heart, that sin, that heart that was producing sins, when we look after the heart, grab it and start to clean it and wash it, then that same heart changes, alhamdulillah. And that same heart then starts to push us towards the tahajjud. And then when you hear Allah's name, you start to cry. When you recite the Quran, your body will tremble. And so where's the source of this? That same person that's dirty, he wakes up in the night and reads the tahajjud himself, and he does dua for 30 minutes, more than that, to Allah, and he has khawf and fear of the grave. And his rikat, the hairs stand on, and his body changes, his spirituality changes, his mind changes, his heart changes, and the lack of barakah ceases, Allah's curse ceases, Allah's, the wretchedness Allah Ta'ala sends on that person ceases, because that person's doing a great unique action to stave off all of the impurities. Now let's look at ourselves. What are we? I know within myself, what am I? That the Quran has said, that what do you do? Allah Ta'ala says, I need to see and analyze my own life. What is my hal? We think that we are strong and powerful. So it's one action we need to do. One action. Just be quiet and carry out that one action. What is that action? That from today we need to create a fikr, a concern, that if I want to be saved from sins, then I need to improve my heart, condition my heart. And Allah has given a cure for this. That to clean the heart, to improve the heart, the only way to do it is through the fikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala hasn't hidden any solution. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. Subhanallah. What a great point that Quran has mentioned, that within the heart a malady occurs, dirt, impurity arises, and if you do not correct that dirt, فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا, that sin will increase, expand and multiply, take you to shirk and nifaq. The person who has iman today, tomorrow he will pass away as a mushrik and as a disbeliever. The Quran is telling us this because that individual did not cease that sin. He did not reduce the malady. Nifaq, hypocrisy came into his heart. The qualities of nifaq came into his life. And nifaq is a very dangerous condition, hypocrisy. Then a person does fraud, his nifaq, due to nifaq. So if we don't pay attention to our hypocrisy, then it increases, multiplies, gets stronger. And where will it take us to? And then it will take us to the depths of our grave. It will waste away and burn our deeds and our iman. And it will make us be lowered into the grave without iman. My friends, it's very extremely important that we take the protection in this life from the bad consequences. What guarantee do I have that the cure that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed, that without that cure I will leave this world in the state of iman? Tell me. What guarantee is there? Without Allah Ta'ala's solution, I cannot leave this world in a correct way. When the heart is dirty, person recites Quran. Even though he's reciting Quran, he continues to do bad actions. He prays salah, still does bad actions. Many people here, I say, oh, I've seen people praying, I've seen people who are hajis, I've seen this and that. Rather, that what it creates is an awareness in the world that people say that even the pious so-called people are sinful. But when a person purifies the heart, enlightens it, then the Quran, Talawah, will take a person to the skies. It will give him nur. It will give him guidance. So this we need to think about, my brothers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us dhikr with a great, great method Allah ta'ala has given us to do dhikr, to remember him. So that dhikr of Allah will not give that end result. Dhikr of Allah will not give that result. Rather, the quantity the kathir on kathir of dhikr, dhikr in high abundance will give us this. No, that you have done 10 tasbih, 5 tasbih. Allah Ta'ala hasn't said this. No. Nowhere does Allah say do 10 tasbih, 15 beads, 14 tasbih, 1,000 beads, 2,000 beads. No, it's not written anywhere this. Whenever Allah Ta'ala says dhikr, then when Allah Ta'ala says dhikr, Allah Ta'ala in parallel says do dhikr in abundance. Kathir on kathir. And there's a hadith with regards to kathir or kithar of dhikr. What is the hadith? That do dhikr so much, do dhikr so much, that people say, is he mad, crazy? He's always doing dhikr, always doing dhikr. These are the words of this hadith. That a person should do dhikr at this stage. Why? Because every moment he should have fear that my heart is not being cleaned and washed, and I don't want to commit to sin. I don't want to do something wrong. I want to have death. Allah, that while my heart is clean and pak and pure, if I have this fikr, then every moment in my life, every second, will be pointing towards and thinking about the dhikr of Allah. So do we understand this point? Yes. This is the solution. So for dhikr, you can't just get dhikr automatically. You need a sheikh, a teacher who can guide us, tell us about dhikr. We need a sheikh, a teacher. We need a murshid, a teacher, a professional who can guide us, teach us, prescribe to us. Those who have learned these hadith, read these hadith, they ran towards the sheikhs, the teachers. Look, Hazrat Nanotvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he went quickly, he hastened to, Hazrat Tanvi Sahib hastened to their sheikh, to their teacher. Hazrat Saharanpuri hastened to a sheikh, they ran. I'm giving you the examples of those great sheikhs who we know about, whose kitabs we read, whose hadith we listen to, their narrations we listen to. That so many tasanif of Hazrat Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, so many writings and books and collections. But I heard about Hazrat Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, that Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, mentioned, he stated about Hazrat Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, that his kamal, that he was a mujaddad, in which sense, that whatever research he made on tasawwuf, nobody else researched on tasawwuf as much as Hazrat Tanvi Sahib. These are his words. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib said that Hazrat Tanvi Sahib has done research on tasawwuf so many times, so much over. He's written so many kitabs and booklets with regards to tasawwuf and books that cannot be compared to. Imagine he was a scholar and he had ilm. But Allah Ta'ala gave him the knowledge of tasawwuf when he reached to the footsteps of his sheikh. When those all great scholars reached to the footsteps of the sheikh, they said that today we became alims and today we realize that we can do some work of the deen. In reality, after meeting our sheikh. So if you do not take hold of the guidance of a sheikh who purifies your heart through dhikr of Allah, then how will we get the noor of Islam and Iman into our lives? This is a method, this is a tariqah, which is definitely, definitely important for us. Allah Ta'ala has created the mashayikh, the true sheikhs, the camel sheikhs, who have been sent to the world. Then they control and explain, they do this action, do this much. They will, when you explain to them your diseases of your heart and spirit, Hazrat Tanvi Sahib, they said himself that when people used to come to me, students, then with every murid student, I would give a specific cure. If an alim would come to me, then according to his ilm and knowledge, how busy is he, what work of the deen, because an alim is very busy, occupied. He has to prepare the lesson, deliver the lesson. If today he has 4 lessons, then 6 hours it takes to prepare for 1 lesson. So he stated, but he also has to do dhikr of Allah. He cannot keep his life devoid of the dhikr of Allah. At least minimum, the amount I give Allah Ta'ala says how many? 24,000 repetitions of dhikr of Allah for the alim. If this is for the alim, despite his busyness and busy, because if there's anyone that's busy, it is those who teach the ilm of the deen, who study on the hadith and the Quran, they prepare the lessons and deliver the lessons. And let's take that example, the most busy group of Muslims, there's no group of people more busier than the tadris, than the scholars who teach in the Darul Ulooms. They're the most busiest, who teach sincerely to the children. They don't have time, spare time, but they are not spared from this necessity to learn from the sheikh. Even for them is lazim. How lazim? That 24,000 minimum repetitions of the name of Allah that they have to do. Hazrat Tanvi will prescribe this in a unique way to each teacher. That sometimes, like I say, there was a murid, it was a very, Hazrat Mazur Rahmatullah, was a murid of Hazrat Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah. He would 40-50,000 times a day repetitive recitation. He was a collector, he worked. But he said, no, the person who's busy in reality is the alim, the scholar, and for him is this quantity of less. So if a person doesn't go to a teacher and not do dhikr, this is a very serious topic that I'm saying to you, telling you. I swear by Allah, if we want to save ourselves from the punishment of the grave, from la'ana, from the wretchedness of the world, if we want to be saved from lack of barakah, then learn the dhikr of Allah from a friend of Allah. Learn the dhikr of Allah from a friend of Allah. Hazrat Qutb al-Aktab, Ghawth of his time, Hazrat Fadl Ali Qureshi, rahmatullah, I just remember an event from his life which I had read about. Hazrat Sahib stated, the truthful friend is who? Allah, the friends of Allah, the walis of Allah, their accounts are very unique. The truthful friend of Allah is he who teaches you how to get to the door of Jannah. Subhanallah, what a beautiful statement. And he gave an example, rahmatullah, that he, the wali of Allah, should teach you such a deen that he delivers you to the door of paradise. I'll give you an example. He said, Hazrat gave an example, that when you reach to the door of paradise, the shaykh is so great, then you do not need khizr at that time. This was his statement. Then he gave an example. The Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jani Jani Rahmatullahi, who was a great sheikh with high status. You know about Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jani Jani, had a great status and a beautiful level. That Hazrat Shah Wali Allah Muhaddis Delwi Rahmatullahi was a witness of his anwarat, of his actions, of his deeds, of his achievements. These were not small time people. The king of his time, Hazrat Aurangzeb Rahmatullahi, gave him a name. So, great prince at that time who lived in the company of that sheikh became a fakir, and even today his grave is in Delhi. If you go, some people go to Delhi and you read the verses about, if you get an opportunity, definitely go there. See that darvish, what a life he had. Great life. So he had a high level, high status, and if this was the hal of his murids, that if one of his murids, subhanallah, Hazrat Qazi Thanaullah Panipati Rahmatullah Alayh, was one of his murids, it was so high a level, and he had a high level from the murids of Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Janjan, that when he would come to see Shaykh, then Hazrat would stand himself to greet his student. He said, Hazrat, what are you doing? Hazrat, this is your murid, he's coming, why do you stand then? Hazrat said that, what can I tell you? That what maqam Allah Ta'ala has given to this person, that when he comes, then with him are millions of angels, that when we see them, when I see them, I have to stand up with respect. Brothers, on the heads of the walis of Allah, they are not horns. They don't have the basis of kashf and karamat and miracles and visions. No, don't recognize the walis of Allah on this basis. We think a wali Allah is seeing a kashf, or some news has come to him, he's seeing ajeeb things, and subhanAllah, he's a great sheikh, and he sat down on the floor and people are serving and helping. No, the true wali of Allah fulfills the sunnah every second, and he wanders around the streets like a normal person, but his kamal is that the malaika are traveling with him. Subhanallah. So, my friends, we need to see here that what do the people who are blind, they do not know what is reality, but those people who say, no, we're living somewhere else now, we can't follow those ways now, and this is the wali of Allah and he's doing this for me. No, the walis of Allah have criterion set. So Hazrat said that, what can I say to you? That when my student Hazrat Qazi Sanullah comes, that thousands of angels come with him, I have to stand up to greet him. And what right did he fulfill, the student of the sheikh? Look, when there's a rabt, when there's a connection with the sheikh, then how the affairs of that sheikh comes to that person. He had so much love, that I think that his name stayed alive after that. He said, what can I do? Allah Ta'ala made him do that work of the deen, that he wrote the tafsir of the Quran. Hazrat Qazi Thanaullah Panipati Ramdeh, the student of Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jani Jana, the name of his tafsir is tafsir Mazhari. Subhanallah, that he wrote and kept the name in the name of the Sheikh, that there's no answer to this tafsir, that people are today benefiting, great ulama. They read that tafsir and they take the learnings from that tafsir. And he said, I love you so much, my student, that I want, and he said to his student, the student should love the name of his Sheikh and the life of his Sheikh, that if the Sheikh gives hukam, that you need to do this tabligh, except that he should run after that tabligh. Why? Because I want the affairs of my Sheikh to distribute itself around me and to me. So a person, a student who is sincere with his Sheikh, alhamdulillah, then Allah Ta'ala gives him high status, the student. This is a spiritual rank. So what I was saying, going back to Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jani Jana, the point was initially, I'm telling you about this event that was narrated by Hazrat Fazal Ali Quraysh, that Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Sahib Ramdhai was present one day. From behind him, the door opened and he opened it. He said, I'm Khizr. Allah Ta'ala tests people. These are the lives of the walis of Allah. And these events happened in the lives of the walis. And that person who came, he said, I'm Khizr. So tell me, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? And he said, Khizr alayhi salam, tell me, such a great person. He said, nothing. Nothing. I need nothing. He said, I'm very happy. I've seen you. I've done your ziyarah. This is due to the barakah of my sheikh that I've seen you. Subhanallah, Hazrat Sayyid Nur Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi. He said, this is also the barakah of my sheikh that I've seen you. Oh shaitan, now you've come here. Fair enough, you've come here. And I have no answer to give to you. I've seen you. In reality, yes. But where the situation arises that you need help, and the fact is that I have my sheikh, he helps me, I do not need your assistance. Subhanallah. So when you meet a kamil sheikh, and you learn the dhikr of Allah from that shaykh, then a normal person who's a prince, what becomes his hal? He becomes the faqir, the wali of Allah, and his name becomes famous. So brothers, this is the genuine mu'amala, and this is the summary that I'm telling you, that we are in danger. We are sinning, we cannot leave the sins. We do not leave the sins. We try, but we don't leave the sins, because we can only leave the sins through the system that Allah Ta'ala has given. There's one method. What is that? Clean the heart. And to clean the heart, what is the method that Allah Ta'ala has given? Do the dhikr of Allah. And to learn the dhikr of Allah, what do we need to do? We need to find a teacher and learn the dhikr. What a great system. What a great system. That's it, alhamdulillah. So close your eyes, go to a sheikh and say, oh sheikh, teacher, teach me dhikr. And then keep the nisbah, the connection with that teacher, with the insincerity, with the love, conviction, and have fikr of the akhirah when you have this nisbah. There's no fourth thing, the dunya, that should come into his hazrat. I need this, hazrat, I need that. Hazrat, please do this for me. Business, dunya, flat, this and that. I've got this much in spread. I want to see you. I want to do this for you. With the dunya, what does the peer have the link with the dunya? A sheikh. What story are you telling him of the dunya to the sheikh? Is there any benefit for this for you? Nim, you should have one concern that Allah, this sheikh you sent me to, this wali that you've sent me to, Allah Ta'ala sends to the wali. And with this knee, I came to the sheikh, to the teacher, my teacher, and I've learnt your name from my teacher, and I keep the company of my sheikh. Allah, with the barakah of my sheikh, with the barakah of your name, with the barakah of your dhikr, Allah, please make the life of my qabr easy, my death easy, and make getting to Jannah easy for me, and allow me to depart from this world without any sin to my name. Without any sin to my name. And that's when success will come. We have to make effort for this. Not just this, oh, 3 days come, then 3 days you don't come. People, when they get bayah, they're so happy. I'm going to do this now and that now. I'll do this and I'll leave this sin and that sin. After some days, that's it. Start smoking again. And the same sins have started again. We can't leave. It's too hard for me. This is not a transaction, a bargain, an agreement with Allah. So those people did not come with the right niyyah. They came to deceive themselves. Allah says that they come and they deceive themselves after that. And they have got nifaq. But yes, that person who comes with an honest heart, Allah says, "Jahidu fina." Ladina Subhan Allah Ta'ala says that you make effort, you come forward, and I will open the doors for you. I will open the doors for you. So that individual who goes to a sheikh, who learns dhikr, and after that sins, then he is a deceitful person, because Allah Ta'ala's promise is going against that, whereas Allah Ta'ala promises himself that if you are sadiq and sincerity in your effort was honest and you wanted to do hard work, then Allah says, I promised you, I'll open the doors for you. But if your paths do not open for you, then it's your fault. The sheikh's fault it is not, and nor is it the fault of your dhikr, it's your niyyah that was at fault, that was faulty. So this is a great point. With the fadal and karma of Allah, we should make effort on this. We should try our best in life. If we continue to sin, then sins will deliver us to Jahannam, hellfire. Protection, protection, protect your heart and make your heart glow. Always do recite Allah's name. Allah's name, Allah's name in the heart. Alhamdulillah, wherever the noor of dhikr is, shaitan cannot attack. Shaitan cannot influence, and darkness will not come to your heart. Your eyes will be protected, your tongue will be used properly, your hands will be saved, your body will be saved. But what? Due to what? Abundance of dhikr. Not the dhikr of tasbih, abundance of dhikr. Always your heart. That's why the shaykh gives the dhikr of the heart. The reason for giving dhikr of the heart is that practice with your heart, that your heart should say, Allah, 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 Subhanallah. All the time. Your heart should say, Allah, Allah, Allah. You should feel that my heart is ticking along with me and Allah's name is always being recited in my heart. Walking, talking. It's never said anywhere. You never see, no sheikh will say to you that leave the work of your home, leave tabligh, and leave reading Quran. Never will any sheikh tell you to stop the work of the deen. There's no link with this from the sheikh. He will never reduce your road, because dhikr is a very unique and separate action. Dhikr will not stop you from any career path of the deen, rather it will progress it. If you're doing the work of the deen, any subject you're doing hifth, then your hifth will become easy. Tafsir you're learning, then your tafsir commentary of the Quran will become easy, subhanAllah. If you are studying on any subject of the deen, and the dhikr of Allah will make it all easy for you and create awareness and passion in your heart. Everyone has a desire to do work of the deen in this way and in that way. Everyone has a style. So with whichever method you're doing the work of the deen, alhamdulillah, then be grateful immensely to Allah. Allah has given us the choice here. He hasn't left us empty handed. What do we need to do for that? We need a sheikh, a teacher, and dhikr of Allah. And no sheikh will stop you, don't do this work of the deen, of the dunya. No sheikh will stop your career. Look, Hazrat Thanvi Sahib, He asked that, yes, what is your shughal? What's your pastime? That according to your shughal, your career, I'll give you dhikr, said Shaykh. So that whatever you're doing in the world, there should be no restriction on you doing dhikr. Even in the work of the dunya, the Shaykh asks you, what's your profession? For example, there's a wakil or a shop owner or a doctor or a solicitor, or you run a trade, you have a clothes shop or a shoe shop, etc. You're asked, you drive a taxi or a plane, you're a pilot. MashaAllah, you're sat, even pilots are sat here. Even taxi drivers are sat here. Every different person comes here. Every from walks of life, everyone's sat here. So is there any prevention, restriction for you to do dhikr? No. In the morning we do dhikr. According to the time, the person who's pilot, person who drives the taxi, he leaves. The person who has to run the shop, they leave. And the person who has to go job, people are coming and going, coming and going. Have you ever seen such a gathering? SubhanAllah. In a shop, you see customers coming and going, customers coming and going. I've not seen a gathering, someone's coming, somebody's going. Until Ishraq, this continues until sunrise. SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. What great things that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Great opportunity. Look at the kamal of Allah. And this is reality. That not even 3 minutes to sit down, even 3 minutes in dhikr of Allah is greater than the whole world and what it contains. We don't understand this. And we say, I've got 5 minutes only. I've only got 5 minutes. They'll come for 5 minutes. They'll sit down with ease. Somebody's leaving from that door, that door, that door. Ajeeb scenery. I say, Alhamdulillah, SubhanAllah. Most definitely, these people have yaqeen and you're testing them. You're testing them. So is anyone's work being stopped? Prevented? Career being prevented? No. The mufti is coming. The tailor is coming. The teacher is coming. The mudarris is coming. The person who is the da'i of the deen is coming. The tabligh brother who does tabligh is coming. And everyone's receiving the same fares. And I cannot see this effect anywhere. So I'll tell you the reality, the truth. Allah Ta'ala's karam, mercy. Allah Ta'ala gave me mercy, the opportunity to sit in the company, in the gatherings of great sheikhs. I swear by Allah, I never saw this in any gathering. The person who came, he came and he sat in dhikr. Yes, but this action, why? Because this country is such, this society is such, that we live in this busy environment that Allah Ta'ala has created here. This is such a sheikh who's being sent here, such a kamil sheikh, prepared an individual and sent him to this environment according to the needs and the requirements of people, and however the people are, deliver them the dhikr of Allah. And we, for example, coming 1 minute, somebody's got 3 minutes, somebody, the imam's recited salah, he's coming, somebody's coming from another area, somebody's reading fajr or leading fajr in another area, and they're coming. Ajeeb scenery, beautiful scenery, we see. Beautiful example. If this is, then say, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Brothers, it's time for me to drive taxi, I need to go after 10 minutes. Okay, fine, he puts on his uniform and goes, Alhamdulillah. From here, he put on a uniform, whatever work you're going to, security guard, whatever you are, you can do that. So in this gathering, if a person doesn't do dhikr, then there's no greater wretched person than this. Then he should accept that, oh, he's accepting that, I accept the adab of the qabr, me. I accept the punishments of the grave, he says, the sinner. And he says, I don't need the rewards of the hereafter that I can get through dhikr. I don't need this, I don't want these. I like talking, wasting time. Wrong actions, I like earning money for the sake of it. This is the tongue of those people who did not do dhikr of Allah, who didn't like doing dhikr of Allah. But even if they've done 2-3 minutes, they've been successful. Allah Ta'ala knows who needs dhikr and who needs it long term. So he's got to go somewhere else and do work of the deen and do X, Y, Z. But then, even then, he's spending the same amount of time. So, will Allah Ta'ala not through his dhikr make him a good person, a good human being? May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. I am lazy, you may be lazy, but we need to become alert now. We need to help each other, my brothers. As long as this silsila of dhikr is running, do you know how long this is going to carry on for? Allah knows best. The storm, the weather, the clouds can change. You know the timings and the changes come, and they come very quickly in the masjid. There's no guarantee how long will this carry on, continue for. Maybe suddenly the shaykh will come, the jolt will come, we'll be outside. Then what will it do? So, my friends, it's stated, isn't it? This is an example. As long as the sun shines, continue to enjoy. Because there's no guarantee when the change will come. And this link could be weak and not connected. So don't waste this time. If you come from further, you'll get more thawab. Further you come from, more thawab. The more difficulty, the more thawab, the more reward you'll get. That's it. And there's no restriction of time, but just consider wahid, one action which will save us in the hereafter. At this time, in this environment, in this generation of technology and fitna and fasad, there's one action that will save us. What is that? Dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. That's it. That's it. Wherever you get it from, stay silent, sit down. And Allah will give, definitely Allah will give. Don't be lacking hope and desire. You will walk into Jannah laughing. SubhanAllah. So now let's start doing the dhikr of Allah. Recite Durood Sharif.